When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Relax this Sunday with a little moment to yourself and the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
Hey, Scott.
Hey, Ellie.
I'm Ellie Kemper. This is Scott Eckert. This is our podcast, Born to Love, where every week we have a guest on the show come on and talk about something that they love. Anything in the world.
Anything in the world. And today we have a good friend of yours. Isn't that right, Ellie?
A very sweet, dear friend of mine, Nico Santos, is our guest this week. We are so excited to talk to him. I know him because I'm in a movie with him, not a big deal, a Hollywood movie called Happiness for Beginners.
And now we can talk about those, because so for so long we couldn't talk about those movies, and now the strike is over and we can.
We can talk all about it. Scott,
you can shill for all your movies, Ellie.
Ooh, I'm going to shill it up, baby. Scott, how on earth was your week?
Oh, it was great in the holiday season, buying gifts. I really enjoy that sort of thing.
I just want to point out, you're a very smooth, thoughtful gift giver. I said smooth because you don't always anticipate your gifts, and then they just like arrive and they're like so sweet and thoughtful.
Are you talking about a little thing called Uno Attack?
Yeah.
I gave your kids an Uno Attack. And I think that, to be fair, you were a little skeptical because I don't think that your family likes games as much as mine. But then apparently Uno Attack made it into an episode of The Crown.
Uno Attack is featured on this latest season of The Crown. I didn't even know it was around in the 2000s.
Wait a minute. It couldn't have been around in the aughts.
Oh, wasn't it was Princess the late Di? 90s. Okay. I love Uno Attack. I love Princess Diana. R.I.P. And Scott, take it away.
All right. I'll take it away. Well, this is something that I loved this week, Ellie. And you're going to have to bear with me here because it's something of a metaphor. Okay. I have a little cat named Callie that my family adores. She's the just cutest cat ever. I think I may have mentioned her on our Samantha Bee episode. But something that she's able to do, I've seen her do this several times, she perches at the very top of a door, like an open door. You know, a door, it's like maybe an inch and a half wide or something. And of course, it's tall. It's as tall as a door. We walk through them. So like what, 7 feet tall?
Right.
Maybe. Ballpark.
Yeah. Ballpark 7.
So imagine a door about 7 feet tall, an inch and a half wide, and my cat, Callie, perches on it. She apparently is able to leap and balance up on this door, and it's a new habit she's gotten into. And every time I see it, I'm like, wow,
yeah. This
is a marvel.
Scott,
this cat. Yes.
What is she leaping from? Please don't tell me the ground.
Well, at first I thought that it was the ground, but then I've since come to realize that it's other high things like
right.
A dresser or a counter. But see, Ellie, you've kind of anticipated the sort of payoff to this story, which is I imagined that she was leaping 7 feet up and landing perfectly on the top of this like high wire act. And I was amazed.
Yeah.
And then just the other day, I saw her actually get to the top of the door. And do you know how she does it? She hurls herself against the door. Her legs are over the top of it. And she screams as she like scrambles and thrashes to climb up, right?
So, but you just said her legs are over it. Her legs are over
it. Well, no. Like her front two legs. Like it's a person in an action movie, like leaping across a chasm and like grabbing on with just their front two arms.
Right.
And being like,
oh! But from what?
From a counter or whatever. Oh, right, but the point is that it is the least graceful thing I've ever seen a cat do. In fact, it seems enormously painful. And she's making cat noises of extreme exertion.
Yes.
And the end result is that she is delicately balanced on the top of that doorway. And it looks like magic.
Yeah.
But of course, the process of getting there was messy and horrible.
Yep.
And I don't want to get philosophical, Ellie, because you know me, I'm no philosopher. But I was in awe of her perfect balance.
Right.
And then I saw how she got up there. And at first I was horrified.
Yep.
Because I was like, oh, the magic is gone. But then it only took a moment for me to be like, oh, wait, this is even more awesome.
Yes.
It's even more amazing that this cat is doing this impossible feat in such a crazy, potentially painful way. And I realized that's like kind of success, most people's success in life. We see
Scott.
Other people's successes and they look so elegant and wonderful. And what we don't see is the struggle, Ellie.
Scott, I was sitting over here saying in the back of my head silently, I really hope that is the point that he's going to make, the conclusion that he's going to draw from Callie's feat, F-E-A-T. And indeed it was. Scott, nobody likes to see the sausage getting made. Everybody likes to think, oh man, they made it look so easy. They just did this really incredible thing and it didn't seem like they put any work into it. One shriek from Callie's cat mouth will tell you the story. What does it sound like? That?
I mean, it sounds a lot more like yours than mine. This is why you are the fancy Hollywood actress.
It's why I do so much voiceover cat work.
that cat cry of yours, we don't know. We didn't see the effort behind that. We didn't see the years of, of method cat training.
No, my sore throats, my chamomile teas. Scott, what I also want to know is how did you happen to see Callie? I would have thought Callie would have hidden her struggle from you. Not even like intentionally so, but just like, oh, I'm going to do this when no one else is around. But
yes, I think so too. It just was by happenstance.
Oh.
If she knew that I was there, I don't think she would have wanted me to watch. But who knows? I can't see inside the mind of a cat. All I know is that my respect for her is even greater than it was before. And trust me, I had a lot of respect for Kitten Callie.
Absolutely, 100%. To be honest with you, Scott, I don't know Callie except over mostly Zoom, I guess. Have I met her in person? I don't think I have.
I don't think so. And you know what? I think you've been to my house since we've had Callie. No interest in meeting her.
Zero. Having said that, so my respect for Callie, which was at a zero, has now gone up to 5%. So good job, Callie, for showing
nice
us what hard work is. Scott, with that, we're going to seg into our guest introduction. As we said before, our guest today, Nico Santos, very funny, very sweet, brilliant guy. We are thrilled to be chatting with him today. As I mentioned, I know Nico from Happiness for Beginners, a very sweet movie directed by Vicky White. It's out on Netflix now. I'm talking a lot about it because I couldn't say anything about it for 10 years or however long the strike was, but now I can say it. You also might know him as Mateo on Superstore, or perhaps from the movie Crazy Rich Asians, or maybe Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, or maybe Muppets Mayhem. The list goes on and on with these credits. We are so looking forward to chatting with him. Nico is going to be sharing with us his love of fashion design.
Fashion. I'm especially excited. I don't know very much about fashion, so I'm excited to hear about it.
Get ready to learn when we come back. Nico Santos. Da 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 metaphor to love. Okay, everybody, we are here with Nico Santos. Welcome to Born to Love.
Born to love. Something.
I just lost my job. I have been the only one singing so far, and Nico just gave me a run for my money.
Give me a melody. I will join right in.
Nico, thank you so much for being here.
It's so good to see you.
Nico and I worked together, as I mentioned before, on Happiness for Beginners, a movie on Netflix. We shot that in like 2021. It feels like an eternity. Time is bent and backwards. But one thing that isn't is fashion design. So, Nico, you have a background in fashion design, right?
Yeah, I majored in costume design in college. But as a kid, I've always had an appreciation for design stuff, especially clothing. I was born and raised in the Philippines. And growing up, I would always watch my mom get ready. My parents owned a wine and liquor business. So she was constantly having to host people at her home for glamorous parties. So I would always watch her get ready. It was like the whole shebang. So I was always just sort of like enamored by that whole process. And I would just like look at her and was like, oh gosh, she's so glamorous. And I was just really super fascinated by that world. You know, just a little gay boy growing up in the Philippines. I know we're talking about fashion design and people are probably going to look at this. I'm like, you are wearing a hoodie and a baseball cap, honey. I just have to say, I am not a capital F fashionista. There are other people out there who are done up 24/7.
Right.
I am just as comfortable being a schlub, but I really do have an appreciation for the fashion shows that come out every year, for the new handbags that are coming out every year. Also, that was my job for a really long time. While I was doing comedy, I was working high-end retail.
Wow.
I want to know about that world.
This seems like something Ellie does not love.
Do I have a bone to pick? Can you tell me, Nico, if you encounter this? Well, what is the point of making a customer feel unwelcome? Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about. And those are just people that are bad at their job. Because I work high-end retail. I'm so bougie. I have to clarify. High-end retail. I didn't work at a Walmart. It was high-end retail.
Superstore is just a TV show.
Exactly. That was actor life. This is real life. But I worked in San Francisco where it was like stealth wealth. You didn't know.
Oh, yeah.
Some of my biggest clients were like
a bunch of rich dorks.
Yes. The first retail job I got was at a store called Arthur Baron. They had a call center and I knew that the salespeople at the retail stores were making big money. So I was just like, put me in, coach. I know I can sell them. Out of these shoes. And they gave me a chance because I logged in the most calls and the average customer was literally 75 years old. So I was just like sweet talking the old ladies and telling them they need their Ferragamos. And this business specialized in hard to find widths of shoes.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you were familiar, shoes come in widths. So a regular narrow is a double A, but Mr. Baron carried shoes up to a quadruple A.
Oh my gosh.
Baron. And that's more narrow still?
It's like a finger width.
A women's size 12 in a quadruple A. They're like skis.
Oh. How do these women survive?
I know. That's what they call. I'm like, well, ma'am, if you are a 12 quadruple A, you're going to need all these shoes.
Yes. How did you get the job making the calls?
I got a job as a dresser for a theater company. Fixing costumes, running the shows. And the manager who hired me saw that I thrived in high stress situations. So they were like, we'll put you in a call center. And I was just like so happy that I got the job because I was really, really broke. And then they gave me a chance at the retail store. And when that job ended, I moved over to Dior, Neiman Marcus, Jimmy Choo.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Bottega Veneta was the last job I had in retail. Bottega Veneta really was like, it was a label that didn't have any logos. The slogan was, when your own initials are enough. And that was such a huge selling point. You know, women coming in like, $10,000 for this handbag. I'm like, when your own initials are enough.
I love that.
I have a question for you, Nico. I'm unsophisticated when it comes to all of this. My chief clothier is Costco or maybe Amazon Basics. So I assume that fashion is sort of like wine insofar as everyone can enjoy it. But if you're in the know, you can be discriminating in a way that an idiot like me can't be. So is that true? Like if you saw a Jimmy Choo, would you be able to be like, yep, that's the one? In the same way that a sommelier could be like, oh, that's a Merlot.
I mean, there's different levels to it, right? Like, I really do enjoy like going through the magazines and seeing what's on trend. And that came from working the job in retail. And at the time, I was just like a broke comedian. So it was a way for me to sort of be in this world. And going back to your thing about like why people are so rude and yes. make people feel like when they walk in the door.
Yep.
The salespeople take on the persona of the brand.
Yeah.
And I'm like, honey, you just work here. You're not Jimmy Choo.
Every brand you named, I started sweating just thinking about entering because I don't go into those stores that often. And when I do, I'm just scared.
Yeah.
And unwelcome.
You just gotta walk in like you own the place.
Yeah. That's what I'm gonna do next. It's either like you mean business or you don't. So if you mean business, come talk to me. I don't know.
Certainly there were days when I was working that I was like, I know this person isn't going to buy.
Oh, yeah, that's interesting.
And you sense that they're going to need a lot of attention and they're going to end up wasting 3 hours of your time.
3 hours at a shoe store?
Yeah, they're perusing.
Oh, I've had clients stay longer.
What do they do for 3 hours? They already know their size.
Nico, when you are saying you enjoy seeing what's going to be on trend that season, I'm envious of that because I would love to look forward to that. What is it about it that makes you so happy?
Yeah, for me, it's the craftsmanship and the beauty and the mm-hmm. design of it. Having a background in costume design, knowing how things are made, what techniques in sewing and beading are a lot harder to execute. When I worked at Dior, we're charging $2,000 for a cotton bag that says Dior, and people right. will buy it because they want a piece of the label. But then when I worked at Bottega Veneta, I was like, this bag is $20,000. I can tell that the quality of the leather is absolutely top notch. That's why when I worked at Bottega Veneta, I was a lot more comfortable selling at that price point because I could be like, no, you have the money. You want a quality product. Mm-hmm. This is what you want, honey.
What is the most expensive, like at the end of when the receipt printed out?
They do not print a receipt.
What do they do?
All right, there's a printed receipt.
They write you a thank you note?
We have to write thank you notes to our clients.
I mean, that is such a different world.
Well, that's part of the thing about selling in that sort of level. It's about building relationships with the repeat customers because only a handful of people can afford to truly shop there repeatedly. You get people who saved up their money and are treating themselves and want to buy their first designer handbag. But there are people who are very wealthy who treat those stores like the Gap.
What is the high? Can you even remember the highest price?
The highest? When I worked at Dior, a coworker of mine ended up selling 2 couture pieces. Those dresses are completely made by hand. They'll send somebody from France to fit those dresses for you. And each dress was over 6 figures.
Over 6? Wow.
That's another level. But that's the thing about fashion is like there's an entry point for everybody. It doesn't matter if you're like super poor or super rich.
Right.
Sure, only the super rich enjoy these sort of handcrafted, crazy expensive materials. But the great thing about fashion is that those sort of design elements trickle down.
Yeah, exactly. There was just some article I was reading about very few people can tell the difference between a Chanel bag and a knockoff. And I know that there are different issues at play here, mm-hmm. but as a Maxinista, I should say, as a TJ Maxinista, I do love a bargain. But again, I don't want to do that at the expense of bad labor practices.
Right.
The idea of it is nice because it's making fashion accessible to anybody who's interested, right?
Right. I try not to shop fast fashion brands right. as much as possible.
I'm sorry to interrupt, Nico. Is fast fashion like Zara?
Yeah. Zara, H&M, Forever 21, where literally they will get new styles like every day.
That's crazy.
And it's just about churning new product. They'll watch a fashion show and then literally the next day they'll have a knockoff of that design. And it's just shady labor practices.
You want to be very conscious and careful about where you're buying what. But I will say the idea that something is worth that much money is reassuring because when you're looking at something, you say, oh, well, this is why this is priced so high because yeah. it is like a work of art.
Yeah, exactly. And I didn't feel like I was tricking my client into spending right. this amount of money because, right. girl, I mean, look at what you're buying. And I've talked clients out of stuff before. People were just like, I really want this bag. And I'm like, I know you want this bag because Paris Hilton carried this bag.
Right.
But you will love this for 2 months and then you'll be tired of it.
You're a very upstanding salesperson.
I mean, they should be writing you the thank you notes if you're talking about a $20,000 bag.
That's what I wanted to ask. Has there ever been a time when you felt a little bit icky about selling a piece to someone?
Not a specific piece, but you know, there are your sales quotas. So yeah. at the end of the quarter, when you haven't met that quota yet, you are calling just like, hey, Mrs. So-and-so. I know you were just here a couple of weeks, but I just got in this beautiful handbag. Sure, please come in. I need to feed myself.
And would they? Like, do you think they're aware? Nico, no offense. I don't know if you could charm me into it. I may be like, thank you. I know what you're doing.
They're aware. And you know which clients you can depend on for certain things. I have clients that would only buy during the sale period. But then there are those who came back like every other month.
I just wanted to bring it back to your childhood, because something you mentioned before we started recording was that comic books somehow played a role in the whole fashion thing.
Yes, yes.
Which is a surprise to me. I when I was a child, I liked comics and have not fallen in love with fashion. So where was that connection?
When I was a kid, I did collect a lot of comic books. I was like a huge X-Men, X-Force, Excalibur. And for a little while, I thought that I was going to grow up to be a comic book artist. And so...
Yeah.
An artist?
Yeah, so I would draw and invent my own superheroes. Then when it came to the women, I would start drawing not only their superhero costume, but what they would wear for the day.
Oh, Nico. I love that. How old were you, do you think, when you were doing this? That's adorable.
This was like first and second grade.
Oh my gosh.
And that was one of the reasons my mom wasn't surprised that I was gay. Mm-hmm. She's like, you know, when you told me you're gay, I was not surprised because you're homework. When you were a kid, your homework had gowns on the back. You would draw these gowns as a kid on the back of your homework. So I thought, I think it's gay. That's, yeah. So she was not surprised at all.
Please tell me you still have those sketches.
They're probably in the Philippines somewhere.
I do this every morning. I look in my closet. Nothing new has appeared. Nothing has changed since the night before. But I'm always expecting to like put together that outfit that's going to make me feel like I'm taking on the day.
Yeah.
And it never happens. I don't have an eye for it. I've accepted it. But do you feel better when you are...
When you're put together,
yeah.
you do feel better. I mean, listen, there are days when I'm feeling really crappy where I'm just like, you know what? Today is a sweatpants and hoodie day. But there are days where I'm just like, maybe you should get out of the house and get some air and
yep.
try and feel a little bit better about yourself.
yep.
And yep. I will go through my closet and be like, what can I put on to feel yep. like I'm just $1 million?
That's it.
And I really relish that fact. I'm also a type of person who my weight yo-yos so much. I've been skinny and fat all my life. I'm like Liberace. I have so many different sizes in my closet.
I was going to ask Nico about this. This may be apocryphal, but I'm sort of the Barack Obama fashion school.
What's that?
When he was president, he was like, I want to wear the same suit every single day. Because his reasoning was like, I make enough decisions yeah. during the day. Deciding what I'm going to wear is not worth the effort. I am like that, except I don't make very important decisions. I'm just lazy, right? This Amazon Basics red sweater that I'm wearing, it's been worn several times this week.
Of course.
Once you're in a groove... Is there anything wrong with staying in that groove?
Nah. Here's the thing that really annoys me about being a public figure is that people expect you to be in new clothes every single day of your life. I don't prescribe to that. I buy clothing because I love that piece and I want to wear it more than once.
That's exactly right. Kate Middleton.
Princess.
Princess Middleton, no yeah. duh.
I just call her Kate. We're friends.
Really? Because I'm more of a Meghan boy myself.
She famously wears clothes twice, doesn't she? She
yeah,
wears.
She does.
Occasionally she'll wear a well-priced item.
I think that we're holding her to a pretty low bar if we're patting her on the back for wearing an item of clothing two times.
Do you think Queen Victoria would have done that, Scott? I think times are a changing.
Queen Victoria, I don't want to start on queens. Nico, what is your favorite garment of all time? In the spirit of rewearing stuff.
I'm not fitting into it right now, but I have a teal leather bomber jacket.
Teal bomber jacket?
I love it.
I'm loving it, for the record. Googling this right now.
It's really cute and I love it. I love the way it fits on me. Mm-hmm. I love the way it's cut. So that's one of the pieces I love.
What about you, Ellie? You have a favorite article of clothing?
I don't. I don't have an appreciation, I think, of the artistry that goes into it. Like, when you are having a wardrobe fitting for work,
okay,
how strong an opinion do you have about what the character is wearing? I never do. I very rarely do, because I don't trust myself to have a good view of how something should look. Do you?
I do. It's actually the part of the process I look forward to the most, because you develop the character in your head. But for me, the last piece of the puzzle is the costume.
Mm-hmm.
So when I go into a fitting, I really enjoy that process of seeing what they've pulled. And if it's not what I was picturing, then I'm not shy about having a conversation of like, can we gravitate towards these lines, these silhouettes? Right. And it's never a conversation of like, I want to look hot. It's always like, how does the clothing serve the character of the world?
Mm-hmm.
And it depends on the production. Because when I was working on Superstore, some of the clothes they put my character in were like Armani, Paul Smith. And I'm like, he works at a big box store. Like, why is there an $800 cardigan on me? I'm not complaining.
Right.
I love it. There are certain projects, like for Marvel, for Guardians, costume designers at that level, I wouldn't dare give notes on something they created, because I'm just like, this is couture.
I've always had this thing where if you walk into a room and you dress a certain way, it does sort of speak before you do. This is so funny, Scott. I was actually thinking of you specifically.
Uh-oh, I'm terrified of what's about to come out of your mouth.
It's a very nice thing. You always look respectful. You always have.
I always look like a high school history teacher.
That's the most respectful of all. When you put a little bit of attention and care into your appearance, it speaks a good volume about how you approach the world, that you're conscientious and you're considerate.
Yeah, I totally agree. When you sort of pull yourself together a little bit, it really does sort of like, it changes your outlook and the way people see you. I mean, that's the thing, like walking into the fancy stores, let me tell you, the way I'm treated when I walk in a hoodie versus when I'm put together to shop for the day, it is very different. When I'm actually wearing my Dior bag and they're like,
right,
oh, sir, can I get you a glass of water? Like a champagne? I'm like, come on.
I got to start shopping at Dior. They're bringing champagne to the customers.
They don't do that at Amazon Basics.
No, they sure don't. Not at Costco.
That is our trick, honey.
Yes.
When people come in and you know that this is going to be a 2-hour session, that's the first thing we bring out. Champagne, coffee. Prosecco.
Oh my gosh, that would trap me. If you, a drunkie buying high-end clothing.
I love it. This has been outstanding, Nico. If you have time, would you stick around for a little game that we like to play with our guests?
I have nothing to do today, so yeah.
So the way this game works, Nico, is we're going to just fire a couple of topics at you.
Okay.
And all you have to do is tell us if you love them or you loathe them.
You can't be lukewarm. I kind of like it. No. No.
No, no.
That has no place here.
I like this game already.
All right. Here we go. We'll jump right in. As a shoe aficionado, love it or loathe it, toe shoes.
Loathe it. Absolutely loathe it. Yeah. No. Just wear a shoe.
That's the right answer.
So you'd recommend I get rid of mine?
There maybe is a function to that design, but it is atrocious to look at.
Fair enough.
Okay, Nico, love it or loathe it, karaoke.
Love it. I'm Filipino, honey. We karaoke all the time.
What's your go-to?
This is how we do it. Montel Jordan. Anything by Rick Astley.
What is Rick Astley is escaping me right now?
Never gonna give you up.
Never gonna let you down.
Never gonna turn around and
hurt you.
Nico, you are taking my job as in-house singer, but that's fine. I gratefully pass the baton.
Now, do you like upbeat karaoke songs, or do you like sort of like slow jam ballady songs?
I want a ballad song that's like sort of haunted. Halo, of course.
Get Here by Oletta Adams. You can reach me by railway. You can reach me by trailway. Remember that? I don't care how you get here. Just
get here when you can. Now we see our voices side by side and we see who's winning. It's you, Nico. But I love that song.
That's a great karaoke song.
Do you know it, Scott?
I'm so terrified of this whole conversation. Because we're going to ask you to sing. I was terrified of the shoes, terrified of the fashion, terrified of the songs. I was literally, before you guys started soulfully singing, I was going to be like, what about Disney songs? Are those good ones? Because my go-to is Under the Sea.
I mean, that's a great one.
Thank you for validating me.
Scott, don't question yourself.
Well, thank you. I got to love it or loathe it for you, Nico. As a comic book fashion expert, pouches on belts.
Pouches on belts, loathe it. I'm just like, carry a purse. Polaris, carry a purse.
Wait, does that extend to like a fanny pack? Like in real life, that's a pouch on a belt, right?
I know it's super trendy, but I don't like fanny packs. I like wearing the fanny pack as a crossbody.
That's what I do, Nico.
Yeah, I don't like having that extra bulk on your waist. I already got a belly. I don't need
a pouch on pouch.
Yeah, belly on belly. We don't like.
Nico, love it or loathe it, big box stores.
Oh, love it. I love it. My absolute favorite thing to do actually is go to Costco.
There we go. Kindred spirits. I'm suddenly feeling comfortable again. Costco.
What do you love about it?
Every Costco is localized, so they all have different items for sale. The whole experience is a fun discovery maze. And before meeting me, my fiance Zeke was not a Costco person and didn't understand the point of Costco.
Uh-oh.
And I was just like, honey, we are going to need laundry detergent, toilet paper, paper towels, dishwasher soap, the sheet cake. Come on.
You had me at sheet cake.
the sheet cake is a joke. It's like a blanket size.
It's so good. Guys, I'm in the wilds of Manhattan. There's not a Costco that close to me.
When are you going to be in Los Angeles, LA? We should go to Costco.
I'm there all summer, so watch out.
Love it or loathe it, Nico, you, I noticed, have one of my dream credits is a Muppets credit. So I have to ask, love it or loathe it, working with puppets.
Love it. It was great. I only did a day with the Muppets, but it was truly just like, I cannot believe that Animal and Zoot are just 2 feet away from me. This is insane.
Would you look at the puppeteer or the puppet?
It was very easy to forget that the puppeteer was there.
Yeah.
Because you've known the Muppets since you were a kid.
It is magic.
There was a moment where we hadn't shot our scene yet, and I was walking around, and I stumbled upon Animal talking to a bunch of kids, and the way these kids' faces lit up, they were just so like, oh my God, what is this creature that I'm talking to? It was really, really amazing.
Okay, Nico, you claim you love working with puppets. Love it or loathe it, working with me.
Love it. Hello.
That's the right answer.
That shoot was so much fun. I miss our crew.
I miss our crew. Scott, all of these, I'll call them children. They weren't really. It felt like they were all in their 20s. I felt so young and hip. But we were all just like hiking in the woods. It was fun.
It was really great. Yeah.
That's the end of our game, Nico. We have so enjoyed talking with you today. Thank you for being on Born to Love. We loved having you.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me. It was really great to see you after all this time.
I know.
Thanks for listening to Born to Love. We'll be back next week with brand new things that we love.
We want to hear from you. Leave us a review in Apple Podcasts and tell us what you love. We might even ask one of our guests in an upcoming Love It or Loathe It.
Born to Love is hosted and created by Ellie Kemper and Scott Eckert.
Our executive producer is Aaron Kaufman. Our producers are Sheena Ozaki and Zoe Dankla.
Born to Love is part of Will Ferrell's Big Money Players Network in collaboration with iHeart Podcasts. Special thanks to Han Sani,
Rachel Kaplan and Adriana Cassiano,
Michael Fales,
Alex Coral,
and Bahid Frazier.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Tired of restless nights? At Leesa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. From memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Leesa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See leesa.com for more details.
So, should we go electric?
I think we should go electrified with Toyota.
Electrified?
Electrified means options. Yes, we could go all electric with a Toyota bZ4X, but then there are hybrids like Grand Highlander, or we could do something in between like a RAV4 plug-in hybrid.
So, Toyota is electrified diversified?
Yep, and with more options for reducing carbon emissions, the closer we all get to Toyota's Beyond Zero vision for the future.
Exactly how much coffee have you had this morning?
Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.